On this episode, you'll be listening to my interview with the Executive Director of Sustainable Community Development Organization, Sir January Muvula, all the way from Musanje, Malawi, East Africa.
Do you know that non-governmental organizations are working ceaselessly to make the world a better place?
We see a future where young people are connected and act together as agents of change.
Making the dream of children living in undeserved community.
And I am well known for championing children's right to education.
Poverty alleviation, humanitarian aid.
Where every child, regardless of their geographical location,
healthcare,
socioeconomic status or religious background, will have access to quality education.
We are concerned about people's health and livelihood.
Leadership development and community development.
Yes. NGOs are working for the sustainability of all, especially the less privileged. Yes. Their voice deserves to be heard. NGO Podcast is the voice of NGOs. I am Jimo Oluwatobisegun. Stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of NGO Podcast Show. Thank you so much for logging on and for listening to this live. It's my pleasure to have you here with me. First and foremost, I would like to appreciate you and thank you for your feedback towards the previous episode. I want you to know that I value and celebrate you dearly. Thank you so much. And in case you are listening to this podcast show for the very first time, I would like to give you the brief details about this podcast show, what the podcast show is all about, our sole aim and our goal. And your podcast show, as names implies, is simply working towards bringing the world non-government organizations to limelight. We are working closely with the non-government organization existing in different parts of the world with the goal of bringing them to the very limelight, letting the world know about what they are doing, letting the world know about how they have been adding positively to the environment, and now they have been moving on being a non-for-profit organization. On this podcast show as well, we have the opportunity update session where we start up opportunities lying out there of which we believe it will be of benefit to you, our listener. On this episode, as you know that we are on tour to the eastern part of Africa. In case you don't listen to the previous episode, you need to listen to that previous episode of which featured an organization from the eastern part of Africa also, talking about peer-to-peer Uganda. On this episode, we'll be traveling to Italy, to the eastern part as well, traveling to Malawi specifically, where we are going to have an interview session with the executive director of a non-government organization, talking about Sir January Muvula, who is the Executive Director of Sustainable Community Development Organization, a non-government organization which focuses on the sustainability of rural communities in Malawi.
I am January Muvula.
Okay.
I'm from Malawi. I'm the Executive Director of Sustainable Rural Community Development Organization. This is a local NGO which I founded in 2010, but the conception of the organization started all along in 2006.
Okay.
And between 2006 up to 2010, I was trying to line up and down with legal papers to be registered. And luckily, on 17th May in 2010, Malawi government registered our organization through the register of company as a company limited by granting. Of course, I am a young man, currently I'm 41, and I was born in a very rural setup in the hill, which is one of the hard to reach areas in Malawi, which lacks lots of facility. So that's where I learned my primary education, and then I was selected to a district secondary school up to the time I went for my community development course. So that's about me.
But sir, how does it look like to be an executive director of an NGO?
What I can say is it's quite challenging.
Okay.
Sometimes see, it can be quite good, but it's quite challenging, you know. It's about communicating issues from different perspectives. It's about communicating issues from the community, as well as communicating issues with staff, as well as communicating issues with the donors. So it's quite challenging. You have to be focused as well as hardworking and try to have a good time frame of planning, because on the table of an executive director has almost everything. Like you need to fundraise, and even after fundraising, you need to implement through the line staffs, and you, at the same point, you also need to monitor as well as to have checks and balances within the organization setup to make sure that the resources which are committed are really used based on what the projects are. So it's quite challenging because you have lots of work on the table, from approving as well as from managing human resources, and even at some point you need to meet with end users who are the community. So it's, in simple, I can say it's quite challenging.
Being an executive director of an NGO is quite challenging indeed. Yes, you're right. And what do you do as an NGO, sir? Would you please shed more light on that? What do your organization do as an NGO? What are you trying to find solution to in the society? What are you trying to mix right in the society, sir?
Of course, as an NGO, it doesn't work on its own. At the end point of the NGO, there are people, especially those people who are having different problems, those people who are having challenges. It can be economic challenges, or else it can be food security challenges, or even environment challenges. As an NGO, our focus is not to work in isolation, but we work in collaboration with the people. And of course, it is the people who give us what to do, because we can say our bosses are those people who are down there in the community, who looks very poor, very simple, who has many issues to be addressed. So for us to work effectively, we need to hear from them. We need to have good cooperation with these people, as well as we need also to have listening skills, because at some point what the people see as problems are not little problems. They're just signs of problems. And then we need to use different tools. It can start from participatory PRA tools, as well as any other tools, FGDs, which can be used to get more data from the community. And then when we are getting more data from the community, we need to balance it, because at the end we want to have a sustainable project. So a sustainable project comes from the beginning. You cannot say that I want to sustain the project at the end. I know many organizations, they like to put a sustainability mechanism at the end. But sustainability begins during the conception of the project, because you need to move together with the community. You need to know the traditions, the do's, and the adoption strategy, because if you miss it at that stage, then everything gets spoiled. So in my little conception, it's about communicating issues from community level, as well as allocating donors who are interested to fund those challenges, or to fund those projects which are coming through you. I know as an NGO, we need to sit down, try to cook something for the people, especially the information they are giving us. It can be an education challenge. We need to look into it. What is it, the real challenge? Is it girl-child marriage, forced early marriage, or else is it lack of quality education? So we need to have a very good opening, a very good ear and even eyes to see and even to use all the five senses of human being.
Okay, sir. Your organization is focusing much more on sustainability of people in rural community, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, sir. But why do you focus on rural community only? Are they the only ones that are not experiencing sustainability? What about the people in the urban areas, sir?
Yeah, you know we are from Africa.
Okay.
And the Nigeria, Malawi, South Africa,
Uganda, Zambia, and the likes.
Uganda, yeah. We have so many challenges.
Okay.
We have places which we call like small towns, cities, but most of the areas are bush.
Okay.
You can agree with me.
Most of the people,
they live in rural areas, hard to reach areas. And only those who are educated, they live in the in towns, and some of the poor in town, but the majority of the people are in the rural community. So when we are addressing the issues in the rural communities, we are addressing a number of issues. We are looking at the cultural practices which are inhibiting development. We are also looking at beliefs which are inhibiting development. So what we do is not all the cultural practices in Africa or traditional in Africa are bad, but we try to weigh out which is working better. And on the same spot, we also have things, the modern things which are coming, whether in agriculture, the modern technologies which are coming. So what is important is to balance, to make sure that whatever we are communicating in the community is really sustaining on its own. So working in the community is one of the way of addressing burning issues. You can agree with me, each and every community in Africa has its own briefs.
Yes,
and these
sure.
briefs, or even in Europe, in some other way around, they need to be valued, they need to be embraced. Maybe we need to look at the best practices and then try to come up with something good. So when I'm working in the rural community, we are meeting with lots of challenges. It can be like nutritional issues as well as school dropout, as well as corruption, because most of the people like policemen or even people involved in decision making, they like cheating those people in the rural community.
Yes,
so
yes,
when
right.
we are working in the rural community, we are advocating, we need to civically educate. People should understand these modern issues. They need to understand the new development concept, which are combined with their culture, as well as they need to look at the positive part of doing development. The main important thing is to encourage those people. When we are civic education, we are lobbying for the community to do things in a different way, whether in the modern way. Yeah, that is what we are really doing in the community. On the part of sustainability, we also try to balance it. I've seen projects, very good projects, being introduced in the communities, but because they lack some cultural morals, people say we don't know on this. So when we are looking at sustainability, we still need to look at what do these people really believe in? Can this work? For instance, if we can bring in something like let's say we want to introduce something like, okay, it can be very sensitive, my example, because I know there are different religion. Yeah. Let me leave it like that. But when we are trying to introduce something which is against the belief of a certain society, then that thing would not work. Definitely, we need to look at what does this community believe in. And then does what we are bringing in can be accepted, adopted, because each and every community has its own laws.
But sir, your organization focuses on sustainability, of which it encompasses and comprises of many things, ranging from well-being, education, talking about students that are dropped out from schools, making everything sustainable for the people in rural community. How has this been working well for you, sir? How have you been moving on with this project? Are they not complicated, or are they not complicated, sir? How have you been moving on with the project? Would you be shed more light on this, being the fact that the project is quite wide and quite enormous for you? How have you been moving on, sir?
Okay. Yeah, I know we have many challenges as Africa.
Yeah.
Africa believes in marriage. Africa believes in many tradition. But when we want to work with the community in different contexts, the first thing we need to start what this community beliefs in, and then we also need to observe the rules, the do's and don'ts in the society.
Yes.
And whenever we are trying to work out things, you know,
yeah,
in most of the societies in Africa, for instance, early forced marriage maybe is not a problem, but we need to come with very good information. What I always say when I am with the community is like, we are not stopping anything, but we want to modify. So
yeah,
if we say that we want to stop early marriages, I would say, no, this is our behavior.
Sure.
But what we need to say is, how can we modify it to be it better? So by doing that, when we are modifying, we discuss the topic together.
Sure.
And the first thing we look at the disadvantage of early marriage. What are they? And it is the community which says it. And then we also look at what's the benefit. And you can see that the benefits are just very few. Maybe they can be cultural bound, like the parent of the girl child gets money. Maybe if they pay something for marriage. So you can look by looking at the benefits, you can compare between benefits and the challenges which we have said.
Yes.
And at the end, it is the community which understand that this is not good.
Sure.
So the same way, when we are dealing with agricultural issues or environment issues, we try to give them the trend.
Okay.
What was happening in the past, and how were our forefathers harvesting? What was happening? And looking at the trend, maybe we can start looking at the trend starting from 1950s.
Sure.
Looking at the farming system, and we can also look at the reduction in yields. And then you ask them, what is causing this? They would say, oh, in those days there were many trees, there were this, but nowadays every forest is cleared and land is not coming clearly. And then from there, you capitalize it and try to talk much against it. At the end, the community understand the issues and they adopt it in the better way. But if we say like, we want to stop this, the community would not adopt it. But we have to say, can we modify or come up with a good methodology of, yeah, doing this?
Wow, awesome. You hit it at the right head. I love that, sir. But sir, your projects are quite wide and you've carried a lot of projects from your from the organization's profile that I have with me here. But sir, how have you been moving on? Do you have paid workers or volunteers?
The first thing, we promote the concept of volunteerism in the organization. People should be willing, and the employment should come on later.
Sure.
I know we won't employed people for technical complicated jobs, but there are some of the things which can be done on its own in the community.
Yeah.
And I believe that everything which we are doing is already in the community. What we do is just we just promote it. Yeah. Agriculture people in Africa are of the background of agriculture.
Yes.
And we cannot hit them. We cannot introduce a new topic in agriculture. But what we need to do is to look at the which way is working better and try to introduce it and to sit down together with those people. So those things doesn't need somebody who is maybe qualified, but we just need some people who are coordinating the project at some point to work with the volunteers down. Like in our country, we use the Ministry of Agriculture as a policy holder. And when we look at Ministry of Agriculture as a policy holder, we also look at what are the strategies the structures which are put in place in order for the message to trickle down. So you can see, like, from the district level, we can have an extension officer, and down there, an extension officer, you find a reed farmer. And this reed farmer is not a paid one. Is a volunteer, is the same farmer who is practicing farming, who is doing the farming in the better way. So if we empower that particular person because he has passion in agriculture, is a practicing farmer, and we empower him with lots of knowledge, and we empower him with knowledge on how to attract other people to do the farming, then it's very easy to win the battle. But if we go as technocrats and we want to meet all the farmers, then we'll meet with lots of resistance. So the most important is know who is doing what in the community. If I want to go with health issues, who is doing the better health management in the community? If we want to go with hygiene issues, we have those people who are doing hygiene in the community.
Oh, yes.
If we want to do... Yeah. So it's not really difficult to use people of knowledge. The community is the bank of knowledge. People in the community, they are rich in everything.
Awesome, awesome. Glad to hear this from you. People in the Kuria community itself are rich in many things of which they need to get exposed to, of which your organization is trying to make things right for them. But, sir, your organization has carried a lot of projects, as I've been made mention of it. But do you get grants from anyone? Do you get sponsorship? Do you get people that are paying you to actualize this project, sir?
Yeah, we do write proposals. We do have partners.
Okay.
Since the inception of the project,
okay,
we have had partners throughout the world. Our first partner was from Switzerland, and then we have a partnership with European Volunteer Services. We have a partnership with Vitamin Angels in America. We have partnership with Basin Kids Foundation. And we still have many, many partners. Like, we have partners in Germany like Green Internship. All these are our partners. And our best partners are the rural people.
Wow.
So we value them because they are always our partners. Everything we are mobilizing is going there. So they are very 100% partners. I respect them because they are very faithful partners than even the donor. Because the donor is just coming in with the resources. But these people are really carrying something. They are carrying a flag of change.
Wow.
But the donor doesn't know how to change. So that's why I'm saying that they are my best my very best partners.
That's awesome, sir. Quite impressive, quite impressive, quite impressive. Sir, but you are an old man indeed, a man of 41 years old. But sir, why do you deem it fit to run an NGO? Or why did you deem it fit to go for a non-for-profit organization? Don't you have a paid job, or how do you do this, sir? And why do you go for an NGO, sir?
My friend, this quite tricky, I tell you. It's quite tricky because I can say it's a calling anyway.
Yeah.
Once we wish allow government, I once worked with World Vision International, I worked with Feed the Children International, I worked with International Organization for Migration.
Wow.
But when I was working, my dear brother, I was not enjoying the job.
Really?
I was getting money. Yeah, I was getting money, but I was not enjoying. Why? What was making me not to enjoy? I was controlled, my brother, I was controlled. So
yeah.
The control would make a limitation.
Yes.
If I want to save my community better, if I want to save my country better, I have to start up something.
Sure.
Because I will be like the driver. I will drive the vehicle. So that is the passion which made me. I resigned from the job. I resigned from World Vision and started a very, very small organization. And our first funding, my friend, it was around $5,000. But yet in World Vision, that $5,000 was something which was being spent maybe within a day or within a week. You can see, but I
yes.
was not enjoying the job. Because I was given something which was already cooked. But now I'm happy I'm able to sit down with the community, discussing each and everything, trying to come up with something, and then study it from scratch, and making it grow. It starts from like a mustard seed, and then it grows into a big tree. That is what I enjoy most. And I would like to encourage especially the youth, because currently I'm doing my master's in youth development.
Wow.
I would like to encourage more youth. In the past, more youth were going for white-collar job. But I would like to motivate the youth that whenever they are doing their degrees or diplomas, they need to be thinking of what to do, what to initiate in their community. They need to look at the problem, the social problem within the communities, and they can start the social enterprise. Because an NGO, at the end, you can see it's a social enterprise because we are able to employ people and those people are able to survive.
Oh, yes.
So it's a social enterprise. If everyone could start something, I think Africa or the world could be the best world.
Oh, yes.
The best in doing something. But because we have some few people who are controlling money, who are initiating, that's why most of the people, they are oppressed in the jobs. They cannot run away, but they are being oppressed in the job. They don't enjoy, but they still cling in the job. So I urge these youth to be very much creative and start something.
Wow.
I'm sorry, sometimes I talk like I'm a confused man, but from the confusion, from the abnormality, I know that there is some sense.
Oh, yes.
Why should people cling on the money which is just coming like monthly? You need to generate something and give it to the community. That is the better way. I enjoy it, whether I get a little something, but if I'm sharing with the community, I'm happy. If I see the community being transformed, I'm even happy. If I go and and dance with the community. Say like, oh, thank you, thank you. I feel like more than thank you. I say to my God, oh my God, you have really given this small thing, and it has transformed a certain community.
Honestly,
so my message to the youth: think about creating something.
Wow, awesome, sir, awesome. This is quite interesting to hear from you and the advice you've given the youth out there. But sir, before you go, is your organization limited to Malawi alone?
Yeah, definitely. We are currently limited in Malawi, but we don't think we are limited in Malawi, but it's about the how to get the collaboration.
Good.
We are ready to collaborate with people in Nigeria.
Okay.
We are ready to collaborate with people in Cameroon, in UK, USA. We are ready if they are able to share the values which we are having. Just to mind you, we have very small values as an organization, which when we are working in the community, we need to make sure that these values are respected. We have the value of partnership. We have the values of working in collaboration with the community. We have the values of promoting sustainability. These are some of the things. Maybe at the beginning, I never introduced what our mission statement or our visions are.
Yeah.
Our vision as an organization is a country, Malawi, where Lulu communities are self-sustaining.
Honestly.
Where the population is healthy and fully empowered, and where all people are equal, know their rights and take their own development initiative. We are not the drivers. They are the drivers, but we are just supporting them. We are just blending what they already know. And our mission statement is to improve the livelihood of rural communities by generating economic, agriculture, education, and culture empowerment, and by promoting health and gender equality through the mobilization, training, education, and entertainment of all women, men, and children.
Wow, awesome,
so,
sir.
You can see that. You can see that.
Yeah.
It's something which is self-empowering.
Wow, it's awesome, sir. It's awesome, sir. But, sir, what was the latest project on the organization? The latest project you are currently working on the organization, sir?
I can say we have two projects which I really love them. The first one, we have been with it since 2011, and I can see it graduating from one level to another.
Awesome.
That is the village savings.
Okay.
Trying to empower the Lulu community with some knowledge of saving. Very hard to reach area, hidden areas, isolated people, those people who are regarded as marginalized. We are there to support them, especially we are focusing much on the women to be in groups and try to save. We don't believe on giving money to the community, but we believe in generating money within the groups. So it's a very successful project. I've seen women transformed from a scratch and up to something, building houses, small from a factory houses to an iron sheet house. So that is, I like much. It's one of the projects which I enjoy. Whenever I go in the community, I see women trying to save, and at the end of the year they are investing or they are trying to do something which can change the face of their homes. We target much the women because, you know, traditionally in Africa, the women are regarded as backwards. They don't have a voice. They cannot make decision.
Yes.
They cannot be heard. It is the man who is always talking. So we are doing the opposite. We are empowering the women to have their voices. I have seen some men being supported with women using this project. So I'm happy to see that one. The second one is an agriculture project It's a quite challenging one. It's more or less like a scientific project, but it's not really scientific. It's not pure science, but we are using numbers. We want to come up with solutions. You know, we have chemical fertilizer, we have organic fertilizer, and we have green manure.
Yeah.
So what we are saying is we are looking at the cost of chemical fertilizer. Like in Malawi, our exchange rate is like $1 is around 750 kwacha.
Yeah.
And then if you can do it, if you have something to write, you can try to look at 750. One bag of fertilizer.
Yeah.
Is 20,000. Is 20,000 kwacha.
Okay.
20,000. And you can take 750 kwacha, should get into 20,000. You can come up with a price of dollar. You can find that the chemical fertilizer is almost $30 or around $40.
Yeah.
While in those communities, that money they cannot generate it easily. So we are promoting the community to use the green manure, to use the compost manure, and then we want to find the better way of utilizing the green manure to give the same results as chemical fertilizer. And then we are using a common shrub which is known as Tithonia divisifolia.
Okay.
In Tithonia divisifolia, we are promoting it in the community. We are encouraging the community to plant more in their fields, and we are encouraging them to use the leaves as fertilizer, and even the leaves when soaked for 2 weeks, they make a very good fertilizer which can be applied as using a method like is it something like top dressing.
Yeah.
So it is working 95%, and the people we are working with, they are saying no, with this knowledge we are going to stop using the chemical fertilizer, because if they use the Tithonia divisifolia, the soil becomes soft, and even the living things in the soil, like we can call, in my local language, we call it nyongolosi, but living things like worms.
Okay.
The worms.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They do come back, you know, for we need to integrate living things as well as some nutrients. So the use of green manure provide that. So these projects makes me happy when I'm getting solutions which can restore back each and everything.
Wow, awesome, sir. This is quite impressive. Hello, Amuchi. This is quite impressive, sir.
Yeah.
And, sir, before you go, what's the possible means of reaching or contacting you or the organization in case a well-meaning listener might want to sponsor or have an official discussion with you, sir?
We really need some sponsorship. I know that we have some very different programs. The best way, they can go to our website.
Okay.
Our website. Should I give it to you?
Yes, give it, sir.
You can get it. You always get it. I don't need to worry about it. I know that you got us through the website.
Yeah.
You can extract something from it.
Okay.
We are using an unpaid website.
Okay.
The other thing, they can reach me through email.
Okay.
We have SURCOD_development@outlook.com. That's our email address.
Okay.
My phone number is +265
Okay.
888
Okay.
74
Okay.
57.
Okay.
And 52.
Okay.
265.
Okay.
388.
Okay.
74.
Okay.
5752.
Okay.
They can also get us on Facebook.
Yeah.
They can drop something on Facebook. They can look for our Facebook page, Sustainable Rural Community Development Organization, or they can try to put the shortcut SURCOD, S-U-R-C-O-D.
Awesome,
so sir. They can get us. We are there.
Awesome, sir. Thank you for giving out the positive means of reaching you, sir. But once before you go, one lasting word from you to our women listener or to people that have similar passion as yours.
My way is nepotism, favoritism is destroying Africa. Let's unite and try to empower people based on competence, based on merit. Because I've seen nepotism, favoritism, corruption, recruiting people who are not fit for any position. I've seen people recruiting each other.
Yeah.
Because they know each other.
Yeah.
But when we go to quality management, somebody in the village who doesn't have relation with good qualifications is there. It's
yeah.
not given a chance. So let's work. Let's rise up and realize that we are all human beings. We need equal chances. So let's give each and everyone in this world equal chances. Let's fight against corruption, nepotism, favoritism.
Wow.
This is drawing us back as Africa.
Thank you, sir, for this, and also thank you for your time and for being my guests on this episode of NGO Podcast. It's my own pleasure to have you here with me. I value and celebrate you dearly. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I also appreciate, and I wish you all the best, and I think if you all have another next time chance.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back from the interview session there with Sir January Mvula, all the way from Malawi, East Africa. I hope you enjoyed my interview session with him. Oh yes, it's high time for me to go for the opportunity update section, as the opportunity man is around to share the latest update with you in the world of NGO. I hope you enjoy your stay with him. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back after the opportunity update section. Opportunity man, let's do this. I'll be right back.
Hey, it's time for opportunity update. Opportunity update on NGO Podcast Show. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to the Opportunity Update Corner on the NGO Podcast Show. My name is Seifumi Adebote. From my desk today, I bring you an opportunity to be a part of the World Innovation Summit for Education Award. That's the World Innovation Summit for Education Award. It will be going down in Qatar, and the applications are on right now and will last till January 17, 2017. The World Innovation Summit for Education identifies, celebrates, and promotes 6 innovation projects for positive contribution to education and to the society. It also highlights initiatives that have been able to find creative and lasting solutions to educational challenges at different levels and in different environments. The application is on right now and will be on till January 17, 2017. And till date, they have awarded 48 projects. So if you think you have an educational project, you have an idea that can solve some educational challenges, then you should visit www.wise-qatar.org. That is www.wise-qatar.org. Or otherwise, you could visit programs.wise.org.qa. That is programs.wise.org.qa. Yes, the award for each project that win will be $1,000. Yes, and let me just give you a few tips on how you can know if you're qualified for this. Now, your application must be for an original work or an original project. It must be submitted by you, that is a representative of the project, and it must be submitted in English language. Next, you should also know that individuals that are not directly running the project cannot submit. Individuals who are directly not running the project cannot submit. You can only make nominations. Good. And anyone who has submitted a previous application for this award can submit a new one or then a different one. You should provide real life examples when submitting. You should include contact details of two valid supporters. You should try to put in enough data and the numbers to back up your submission. Remember, the website again is www.wise-qatar.org. That is www.wise-qatar.org or programs.wise.org.kiwi. So that's about it from the Opportunity Update Corner on the NGO Podcast Show. We'll do this again. I am Seifunmi Adebote. Stay with the NGO Podcast Show.
Welcome back from the Opportunity Update Corner there with the Opportunity Man. I hope you've got one or two information from the update we have for you on this episode. And before I go, I would like to give out the possible means of reaching the Sustainable Rural Community Development Organization. In case you have an official discourse with them or any sponsorship deals, you want to sponsor their project, fund any of their projects, you're feel free to contact them via any of the details I want to set out. You can easily reach them via their email address, succot_development@outlook.com. The email is spelled as succot_development@outlook.com. I take that again. succot_development@outlook.com. You can reach them via this telephone number, +265 888 745 7752. Take that again, +265 888 745 7752. With that, you can easily get in touch with them and speak with their founder in case you have any official discourse with them. Only, and I'm going for today, but before I go, you can easily log on to our website www.ngopodcast.com.ng to download the latest episode and read from our blog, Latest Happening in the World of NGO. I remain your dear host. I am Jimo Oluwatobishegun. You can simply call me JOS. In case you have any discourse, just shoot me an email, jimo@ngopodcast.com.ng. jimo@ngopodcast.com.ng. You can follow us on Facebook. We are NGO Podcast Show. On Twitter, follow us at NGO Podcast Show. And I'm going for today. Don't forget, you have a vital role to play in the human race. Government cannot do it all for you. We're ready to do yours. Stay fresh. Remain blessed. Peace.